to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com and this is Jim Hopkinson. Jim is the marketing director for Wired.com and the author of Salary Tutor, a business book on salary negotiation. Jim is also a prolific podcaster at The Hopkinson Report, the marketing trends that matter. So welcome, Jim.
Thanks, Joanna.
It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so congratulations on your first book. So why don't you tell us a bit about it and your publishing journey so far?
Sure. Well, I've been fortunate to be passionate about a couple things in my life and do something with them. So I was really passionate about sports. And so back in, I think, 1998, I had a goal. I'm like, I want to work in this new internet thing and I want to work in sports. And I was fortunate enough to get my dream job in sports at ESPN, which is kind of, you know, the biggest sports website in the US. And I'm passionate about technology. And so I worked at a startup for a while and I got the job at Wired.com. But I was also passionate about career development. I've had interns that I've mentored, and I was always the guy that helped people with their resume or interviews. And in the one area I found that there wasn't a lot of resources on was salary negotiation. And so I set out to kind of self-publish a book on that. And then the journey kind of went from there.
You're fantastic. And I guess, you know, as someone in the tech industry, you know, and I know that you helped market the Wired iPad app and, you know, you do a lot with tech, and yet the publishing industry is, you know, pretty traditional. So what has been your experience with the publishing industry?
Well, it's been pretty interesting because my original plan was to self-publish, right? That's what I am. I'm the Wired marketing guy. And so I'd read, you know, a lot of blogs and your blogs about this stuff. I'm like, I can figure this out. So I set out and I just kind of camped myself in a room for a couple of weekends and, you know, wrote this book. And I wanted it to really be really good. And so what I did is I got a designer. I'm going to show you a couple of pages. So this is kind of the cover design that I ended up with. But I'm going to show you one page of the book that I think is pretty interesting. So if you can see that, there's a couple things on this page. So one of them is a picture of me from the 80s wearing like short shorts and my 75 Dodge Dart. Another is the evil HR lady. So that's kind of my antagonist. And I actually reveal my salary throughout my career for like the first 10 years of my career. And we kind of, you know, chart that out there. And so I didn't want it to be just a really basic, you know, here's what you do first, here's what you do next. I want it to be graphical and, you know, having worked a lot with designers, I hired a great designer and I wanted it to be just a valuable PDF that people could download. And, you know, through kind of the power of the podcast, I had it ready to go. I was going to kind of publish on Lulu and have people buy it there or straight off of a website as a PDF. And I went out to dinner with one of my people that had been on the podcast. And she worked for a mobile company and she wrote her own book. And she actually is known as the iPad DJ. Her name is Rana. And so she's one of the first people to make music on an iPad. But anyway, she's like, why don't you just try to talk to like a traditional publisher? It can't hurt, right? I'm like, all right, yeah, maybe it can't hurt. And then I happened to be talking to Mitch Joel, who is another person I got introduced to. He's a pretty prolific writer. He wrote Six Pixels of Separation. He runs an ad agency in Montreal. And he's like, hey, you gonna be up in Montreal anytime soon? I'm like, I'm in New York. I'm like, no. But as luck would have it, a friend called and was like, hey, do you want to go up to Jazz Fest in Montreal? And my other friend's like, yeah, let's go. So road trip to Montreal. So I'm like, I am. Let's have lunch. And he had the same thing. He's like, well, why don't you just try talking to my agent? I'll set up a meeting and you'll see how it goes. Just try it. And I'm like, all right. So I went into the agent and that was like, the advantage of having a book like this is, you know, I went in with the attitude of I have nothing to lose. I'm ready to self-publish. I have this physical book in hand. And I really thought they were going to say something like, well, it's your first book, or well, you know, it's too short, or you're a first-time author. There's a lot of things we need to add. And I wasn't prepared for what they said, which was, we loved it. And I was like, excuse me? He's like, no, we thought the book was great. We passed it around to all like the entry-level employees here, and I didn't want to because they're all ready to negotiate their salary now. And it kind of took off from there.
Yeah. Well, and everybody watching is now going, whoa, that's too easy. You know, that's just not right.
Right. So, for the people that were calling in and, you know, watching and thinking it's going to be like, you have to have a proposal. And then I pitched 72 agents and then I had to have a treatment and a sample chapter. The book was already done. And so we did have to, I think there were three or four publishers that we turned down, or turned down me actually. So I can have that revengeful and say, like, I was turned down by these three people. But it definitely wasn't the long adventure that a lot of people might have.
Yeah. But I want to make it very clear to people, the only reason it was that easy for you is you've put in all the hard work building a platform. That wouldn't have happened without all the stuff you've put in to building your career and, you know, all the contacts you have and all of that background. So I guess, you know, can you be a bit more specific about your platform? You know, tell people how you have made those contacts and how you're out there in the world, I guess.
Well, one of the interesting things, the story was that when I first got to Wired in 2007, one of the first projects I worked on was their podcast. And I show this in a presentation that I give, the icons that we had, they would just, I was like, what is this Wired podcast magazine? And they're like, that's with CBS. And they're like, yeah, we don't know what that one is. And I'm like, what is this one? It's sponsored by PBS or something. Like, I'm not sure about that. And then there was like the Wired Jesus podcast, which I never even found out what that was. And then I looked at our sister site, The New Yorker, and they had like a background image and they had all their icons were exactly the same and they had different colors and they were branded the same. So I said, how do I get one of those? And they said, well, you need six podcasts in order to have an artist page is what it's called. And I looked and we only had five. So I just, I had just gotten my new Mac and I was like, I could try this out. I like to talk about myself, right? And so I started just my own podcast and I got, you know, the icon made and I figured it out at Wired and I just started talking about marketing trends. And there's a whole explanation of, there's a funny story about my friend. I did a test and I went out to Wired and they're like, well, let's give us a demo. And it was like their multimedia person, their salesperson, their tech person. And I interviewed my friend and he wanted to be like, he's a vice president of his family owned business. And he's like, well, like, I'm like, whoa, Bob, how do you get customers? He's like, well, Jim, we go to trade shows and we have a series of distributors and networkers that we talk with. And I'm like, okay. And I turn around and like, they're like, what did you think? They're like, it was okay. And I'm like, well, we kept the video, the audio running and we just kind of, you know, talked off the cuff, like play that. And we talked about how we went to brunch and we went and our plates exploded and that the place had been shut down for rats. But then these celebrities went there and it was like, oh my God, there was this explosion. And then people came out of nowhere and there were pancakes and there's broken glass. And I turned around and they got really quiet. I got nervous and they said, now that's how you do a podcast. And so what I learned there is to kind of find your voice and bring this energy. Someone did a review of my podcast and they called it Audible Caffeine. So I get really excited and I talk fast and, that's kind of how I deliver it. And I remember one of the VPs, at first I was a little nervous, you know, this was Wired and I would run it by him because just to make sure that, you know, I wasn't offending any, you know, Wired or causing any problems with editorial, offending any sponsors. And he's like, no, it's good. And the next week, no, this is really good. You're fine. And then the third week, he's like, listen, you're onto something. I'm not sure where this is going to go. I don't know if you're going to make any extra money off it or anything, but just keep doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the long story of consistency. Mm-hmm. And now I think it's, I just hit episode 150. I put up one kind of long form case study episode a week and it's been 3 years and I only miss one or two episodes per year. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I think having that platform was a reason for a publisher to look at me and say, this guy's a writer, he's got an audience, and he knows how to communicate.
Mm. And I'm actually really interested in the whole branding thing, right? Because, you know, on the one hand, you've got Wired, you've got, they're a big name, a lot of people have heard of Wired, and then you've got Jim Hopkinson. You know, how is it going in terms of marketing you as an author? Because Salary Tutor is actually nothing to do with your podcast, really, is it? And then you've got Jim, and then you've got the Wired and the podcast. You know, how is that all working for you in marketing?
It's exactly right. I actually, people will say, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, sometimes I'll say, I kind of have three jobs. So it's like, full-time job at Wired.com. I do their social media. I run their Facebook page, online marketing. I do a lot of research and analytics. So that's kind of the full-time marketing job. Then I have the Hopkinson Report, which is kind of co-branded. So it's hosted on Wired servers. It has Wired branding. It's in the Wired section on iTunes. But yet it's my name, right? It's called the Hopkinson Report. I own the URL, thehopkinsonreport.com. So it's kind of that gray area where I'm getting my personal brand out there. However, because it's sponsored by Wired, I can't really monetize it. Mm-hmm. So I can't be selling t-shirts or books because it's kind of a Wired thing. So what I realized was I could do some other kind of social media thing, but I didn't want any conflict of interest with my job. So that's why I went after that third passion of salary negotiation and said, I'm going to do something completely different that doesn't conflict with Wired. And that's how SalaryTutor came around.
No, it's fantastic. You do so many things. It's great. So I did want to ask you about marketing your book, because obviously you've got a lot of, you know, you're a marketing guy, but how is marketing the book going and what are you actually doing?
It's going so well. Part of the problem is there's too much to do, right? Like, I'm at this point now where we had the initial launch and that went great. You know, threw a big party. We had a launch party here in New York and doing radio, doing some blog interviews. And the highlight being I got interviewed on Yahoo Finance and that made it to the Yahoo front page. Mm-hmm. So that was great watching, you know, the stats go up and people, you know, getting to the Amazon page, et cetera. And so that I would give credit to, you know, my publicist. So that was an advantage of working with a major publisher in that, you know, I had a publicist dedicated for me and, you know, setting up these interviews for, and I just had to show up. But now we're kind of in the middle stage where we're kind of, you know, trying to keep the ebook sales going and gearing up for the paperback launch in August. Interesting with Grand Central Publishing, Hachette, this is the first time they've launched an ebook before a paperback. So this is kind of a new experiment for them. And it kind of remains to be seen. Things, you know, things could always be going better. It's fun to watch the stats, but the problem I'm having now is I want to do so much, right? So if you break it down into a couple of categories of what I'm thinking about right now. So number one is SEO. So when someone types in how to negotiate salary, you're not necessarily getting brought to a bookstore and maybe a book isn't, you know, top of mind for people. And what I found is there's lots of, you know, references to it on the web, but they don't really go into it that deep. You know, there'll be a post on Monster or a blog here and there, but not a full book that really dives into, if they say this, you know, you should reply with this. Mm-hmm. So this SEO, and that involves everything from just like writing more content and making sure it's good content and putting up videos. So there's, and I want to do some more testimonials. So there's so much more I want to do with SalaryTutor.com. The second is speaking. And so the interesting I have is usually with like social media, you can talk at conferences for free or, you know, talk to your friends or at events, but it's the corporate where you get money for speaking. Mm-hmm. But it's the opposite for me because no company wants to hire me probably to tell their employees how to make more money, right? So I have to go after probably, you know, college students or job search mm-hmm. groups. And so that's a whole thing I need to explore of, you know, speaking. I can talk to 200 people at a time. And if 10% of them say, you know what, I'll spend 10 bucks for a chance to learn how to make $10,000. Mm. So the speaking thing is I'm looking into. And another one is an app. So I have negotiated with the publisher to keep the rights to do an iPad app. Mm. And I have some ideas for that. And that has some abilities, of course, you know, within the app, I could drive people to buy the book and maybe the marketing takes over in a different way. So maybe people aren't picking up the ebook marketing as much, but maybe I can gain some traction marketing the app. And every time I talk about the app, you can tie in the book that way. And so there's a lot of different things that I'm trying to get my hands around.
No, that's great because this is exactly how we all feel. Like we could be doing something 24 hours a day to market our books, right? But, you know, you have right. a job, you know, you do all these other things. How do you manage your time? That's one of the biggest questions with social media.
Yeah, right. It's so hard. And I think what the key is, you know, I find the one person that, what if I have deadlines, that really gets me to, all right, I've got to get this done. And trying to do a little bit at a time, you know, it's getting to be summer here in New York and summer Fridays. And it's like, I don't want to be here and it's 80 degrees out and everyone's outside. I don't want to be stuck in my apartment. But, it's kind of what, like, I think you had a post, what do you have to give up to do your book? Mm-hmm. And so whether it is a weekend or just an hour a night or blocking off, you know, 1 or 2 hours here. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is it's fun stuff, right? It's stuff we're passionate about. So I get excited once I'm kind of into it. You look up and the time has gone by.
Mm. And the other thing I wanted to ask you is about, you know, how do you think people are feeling about self-publishing? I mean, you're in New York, you network with these types of people, you interview these types of people. What is the feeling around self-publishing, indie publishing these days?
It's weird working for a large company like Condé Nast that publishes 25 magazines, right? Wired, GQ, Vogue, Self, Glamour, Allure, The New Yorker. So they're kind of straddling the line and doing it very well. I have to admit that they really put on a push for digital publishing. This week we just announced that when you purchase a subscription to the paper magazine, you also get access to the iPad applications. So they've really embraced, they're, you know, one of the first people to have, you know, a full suite of magazine apps. Mm-hmm. And so they're doing a really good job of knowing they've been around for 100 years and having, you know, right now their bread and butter still is traditional publishing. And you have a lot of people that are like, I want my magazine. I like my magazine. Mm-hmm. But they realize that it's shifting in that direction. And I think the same is with everyone else. You know, people still like magazines. Magazine readership isn't really going down. I think, you know, newspaper readership is going down. But I hang out with a lot of new media people that this is just second nature to them. And that's kind of how you have to be right now. Everyone has a blog. Everyone has a Tumblr account, or at least a lot of the people I talk with. You know, they're on Twitter. They're on Facebook. So this isn't really that new to them.
Mm. No, absolutely. Now, it's interesting you say everyone has a blog. I mean, we do hear about millions of people, millions of blogs every day, right? But certainly amongst the author community, not everybody has a blog, and not everyone, or even if they have a blog, are doing very well. So, I mean, how do people stand out in this massively crowded social media market?
It's true. It is hard. Like, when I went back to, I spoke at my college, and I thought, I'm going to talk to these kids. They're 18, 19, 20 years old. They're so dialed in. They're going to be so techie. They're going to teach me all this stuff. And when I'd ask them, like, oh, so do you own your own URL? Like, joannapenn.com? They'd be like, oh, no, not yet. And I'm like, they're like, oh, I want to get into writing. I'm like, oh, do you have a blog? Well, not yet. I'm like, how could you want to get into writing and not have a blog? And I'm like, that's right. Well, it is $900 to register a URL. Oh, that's right. It's $1.99 a month or something, right? It's like, I'm like, so you're a junior. You're interviewing. What happens when people Google your name? And they're like, I think it brings up my high school tennis statistics. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, so even I do have to remember that a lot of people aren't dialed in. Mm-hmm. And especially for like job seekers, I think I'm going to do a blog or a podcast about this, saying just a simple thing of step one, get your name.com at a URL. Step two, go to something simple like about.me. Mm-hmm. And you can set up just something simple that says, Joe Smith is a multimedia designer living in New York, just graduated from XYZ, and is looking for a job at a creative company. Here's a link to my resume. Here's a link to my LinkedIn page. Mm-hmm. And then you have your name.com forward to about.me, and just put a picture up. Like, you can do it in half an hour to have that presence on the web. So it is a tough balance of sometimes it's really easy, but sometimes they need some handholding to get started.
Yeah. And I want to point that out to everybody right now. Actionable point. Right now, go to about.me and set something up. It's free. No one has any excuse with this stuff, do they anymore? I mean, it is free.
Right, right. And the great thing is there's all these levels, right? So you can go, even if you want, just at about.me and put that on your business card. And that's another thing. Some people don't have business cards. And like, they're free. They take, you know, 24-hour shipping. It's, you know, so make a business card. And even if it's an about.me, it's free. It's easy. Mm-hmm. When you're ready to start a blog, you can do that for free on Tumblr. Or you kind of, and then you can work your way up to WordPress if you want plugins and customize it. If you want, you know, just your name.com and not have the Tumblr in there, that's kind of a next step. If you want a nicer design, you can hire a designer. And you can just kind of work your way up. The, mm-hmm. You know, the more you want to invest in it, the more success you have, you can increase your web presence like that.
Absolutely. Right. Well, I also wanted to ask you about the podcast, you know, going from, you know, somebody setting up an about.me page right back to you with your, you know, 3-year podcast. I mean, obviously, you've built that up over time. What would you say are your sort of top tips if anybody was thinking of starting a podcast? And do you think it's still as effective now, you know, if someone was starting right now?
I think so. I would say just do it, like kind of in the entrepreneur spirit. I went out for that meeting in like November, and I was worrying about the name. First it was going to be called The Wired Marketing Guy, The Wired Marketing Podcast. And then I was thinking of another name, and we worked on the icon, and I was trying to think of topics ahead of time. And it wasn't until April, so months later, that I finally just kind of sat down and started. And it was so important just to get it out there. And it does take some effort initially to set it up. So I kind of have, I think I have 2 posts, part 1 and 2 on the Hopkins Report that is how to make a podcast. And there's some startup time where you've got to set up your XML file and get all your feeds right and set it up in iTunes and set up your icon. But once all that majority of it is done, then you have a template and you can just use that. So every week, there's no setup time whatsoever. I just come up with a topic, and I highly recommend just running. Like if you're into fitness, I swear I'm a big runner. I swear I've never gone on a run and not come back with a good idea. Like I'm like, oh, I'm going to do my podcast today. I'm going to go for a run. You come back. I've got it. I'm going to talk about, you know, exploding toilets in Japan and how that affects marketing. And so that is actually one of my podcasts, Exploding Toilets in Japan. So I just sit down and I've got a template, and I've got my 30-second intro down pat. I know how long to talk. And in the first 100 episodes, I end up, by chance, exactly 50 of them were just me ranting about things, and 50 were interviews with entrepreneurs and new media people that is great to meet. And you meet 1 or 2. And I was able to go back and pinpoint 2 people that were like, I call super connectors. And I'm like, how did I meet this person? How, like, a lot of my guests all tied back to these 2 people. So if you can recognize who those super connectors are, then, you know, you'll get guests, you know, kind of coming, you know, asking you to be on the show.
No, that's great. Right. So I'm interested in where you're going. I mean, you've got this salary negotiation, you've got a podcast, you're wired, but then there's you, and, you know, are you going to write more? What are your plans?
You know, for the last year, everything was, we'll see what happened. We'll see how the book does. We'll see what happened when the book comes out. Cause it was like, you know, working to get to that. And when I, you know, got the book deal, I was like, oh my God, here's what I can do. There's so much stuff I want to do. I want to quit my job and just work on this 24/7. And that lasted about a day. And I was like, everyone's like, no, don't quit your job. And unfortunately, being someone that works for Wired helps, you know, format that and say, hey, this is Wired's guide. It helps me in my book. Mm-hmm. And so don't have plans to quit the day job anytime soon. Like if I had sold 5 million copies in the first weekend, then maybe I would have thought of that. But right now I'm still in, let's see how the book does mode. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to see, you know, the next step is the paperback in August. So we'll see how that does. And, you know, what I've learned from you is that fiction does pretty well. You made the transition from going from kind of a business-oriented job thing into fiction, and we're able to self-publish to set it at 99 cents. And the key I learned from you is having a series, having some characters that you suck the people in for the first one and you already have your next topic. So maybe that's something I'll explore.
Oh, good, good. Well, I mentioned that because right at the beginning you talked about the evil HR lady as your antagonist, which is a very fiction writing phrase.
Yes, I tried to set up some funny quirks to make it, again, like not just another job search book. And it's fun. And basically the first half of the book talks about my specific, my path through my career and looking back. And I think because people love case studies, right? Mm-hmm. And I take it as an advantage. Someone could look at me and say, you haven't, you know, why shouldn't I buy your book? This guy over here has been in HR for 20 years. Shouldn't I take his advice? And I'm like, you can, but he's been behind that desk on that side for 20 years. I'm taking it from the level of this is the mistakes I've made. And everyone's had that moment, right? When they walk out of their interview and they say, you know, the key phrase is, so how much money are you looking to make? Or they'll say, so what are you making at your current job? And if you don't answer that question right, it can affect your salary at that job and at all future jobs. And I was able to look back and say, well, how do you answer that? And everyone I talked to, they're like, oh my God, I used your thing and it worked. And so the value proposition is like, spend $10. And it's a fun book. It talks about the first half is, you know, going after your dream job and liking what you do and kind of the case study that I went through. And then the second half is about here's how you do it when you get to that critical moment. If they say this, you want to counter with that. Mm-hmm. And again, some of the fun things I worked in were the accomplishments manifesto. And so what that is, it's just kind of keeping track of all the things you do in your job, not updating your resume all the time, but so you get a promotion, write that down. You got some praise from your boss, write that down. So when it comes to the time comes to do your review, you've got that already written out. Another one is FBI negotiation techniques. And so I was actually doing the research around this and found an old FBI document that some of the techniques they use to negotiate hostage situations, you can use in your job salary negotiation. So that was pretty neat. And another one is like the right back at you method. They're coming to you and saying, you know, what kind of salary are you looking to make? And you say, well, you know, I've done a lot of research on the subject. And then you can kind of tailor it to your own situation, say the economy, and say something like, you know, my last job, I started in 2006, and I know a lot of things have changed since then. Some companies have done well, some haven't, but you'd probably be in the best position. What kind of salary did you have in mind? And by throwing it right back at them, you're forcing them to give the number, and it puts you in a much better position.
Mm. Wow, it sounds like the book is full of great stuff. So why don't you tell people where they can find the book and also where people can find you?
Sure. The book is called, here's the current cover, if you can see that without it reflecting. So it's Salary Tutor, Learn the Salary Negotiation Secrets No One Ever Taught You. So if you go to Amazon and Amazon.com and search for Salary Tutor, again, right now the ebook is available and you can get that on Amazon or the iBookstore and or any of the other readers. And the paperback is ready for pre-order. And so paperback comes out in just a few months. Or you can go to salarytutor.com. And on there, it's got some helpful articles that I've been posting. You can find my Twitter account, my Facebook page, and some other helpful tips for job searchers.
Fantastic. And the podcast?
The podcast is at thehopkinsonreport.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at @HopkinsonReport.
Fantastic. Well, thanks ever so much for your time, Jim. That was great.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time.